You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Beginning of Guidance by Mufti Hussein Kamani. To find out more information on Mufti Hussein's Qalam course entitled The Prophetic Code, a study of prophetic manners and etiquette, visit qalaminstitute.org/prophetic code.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Today we are starting from Adab al-Nawm, the etiquette of sleep. Bismillah.
Page 64, the etiquette of sleep. When you wish to sleep, spread out your mattress facing the Qibla and lie on your right side as one lies dead in his grave.
So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that when a person intends to sleep, spread your mattress facing the Qibla and lie on your right side. So what does this mean by spread your mattress facing the Qibla and lie on your right side? Spread your mattress in a way that you can lie down and have your face in the right, facing the right direction towards the Qibla. Now when we talk about facing the Qibla, what does this mean? Because there are two positions that a person can lie in while facing the Qibla. The first is the position that a person lies in where they are flat on their back and their head is lifted on a pillow or something that elevates their head. Now what this does is that this allows them to face the Qibla. This is also a position of lying down while you face the Qibla. And this is a common position we put a person in who is passing away. When a person is passing away, we say that you should have them face the Qibla. You don't make them turn on their right side. The way of doing that is that you allow them to lie on their back where they're comfortable, and you elevate their head a little bit so that way they're facing the Qibla. The second common way of facing the Qibla is the method we use when we lower a person into the grave to face the Qibla. So the first was when a person is passing away. I told you, you lie them on the back and you lift their head. The second way that you make a person face the Qibla is the way we lower a person down into the grave. When you lower a person down into the grave and when you're burying them, what you do is you have them turn to their right shoulder, where they're lying on the right shoulder. Their face is towards the Qibla, basically their entire chest, body, everything is facing the Qibla. And in order to keep them in that position, you usually place some kind of wood or something, rocks behind them to keep them up in that position. So when we talk about facing the Qibla, when it comes time to sleep, we're referring to the second position, which is that where you're lying on your right side, your face, your chest, and your entire body is in the direction of the Qibla. Yes?
Know that sleep is like death, and waking is like death.
So here he gave an example before that. He said, and lie on your right side just as the deceased lies in his grave. That's the second position that we were talking about. The way the deceased lies in his grave. Yes?
Know that sleep is like death, and waking is like resurrection.
So here Imam Ghazali gives a very beautiful reflection. He says, sleep is like death. Every day you sleep, you actually get a taste of what death is like. Every day you sleep, you get a little taste of what death is like. So always remember that when you die, be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day, ask Allah that, oh Allah, when I die, make that a good day. You know how some of us, when we sleep, we feel happy. We feel excited because that's the end of the day. That day is over, it's time to relax. So similarly, ask Allah that, oh Allah, when I die, let me be happy. There's a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one day sitting, and the angel of death came to receive the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibril alaihi salam was there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, and the angel of death came, and he said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril and the angel of death, that I'm here to take your soul. I would like your permission. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, if I don't grant you permission, he said, I'll leave. But he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I had never taken permission from anyone else before. You're the first person I'm taking permission from, and Allah has told me to take your permission. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Jibreel, what should we do? So Jibreel alaihi wasallam said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is waiting to meet you. It's time that you move on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted the angel of death permission, and he took the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine how beautiful that is. That Allah is waiting to meet that person is waiting to meet Allah. And you know how when you come time to sleep, you're so excited, you're so happy? That's the happiness and excitement that you should aim for when it comes to the time of your death. Now if you wasted your full day, are you happy when you sleep? Not at all. You think to yourself, man, I wasted this day. You don't feel happy of yourself. But if you use that day, you did some good things, you exerted yourself, you really used all of your energy, now when you're going to sleep, you feel excited about it. So similarly, we learn that when we live our lives, exert yourself to the nth limit. Push yourself all the way, so that way when death comes, you're happy with yourself. And when death comes, on the other side, for the people who wasted their lives, their souls are being taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like criminals being arrested. the person who wasted their life, when their souls are being taken to Allah, the example is like that of a criminal being arrested. They're being turned around, their hands are being cuffed, their feet are being chained, they're being dragged to Allah because they're not ready to meet Allah. While the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when their death comes, it's like a beautiful walk for them in the garden where they're enjoying themselves because they're walking for something better than what they've come from. So here Imam Ghazali gives that analogy. He says that, remember, sleep is like death. And when you wake up from your sleep, it's like resurrection. Like it's like being resurrected again. So here you're resurrecting again. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقْبِضُ رُوحَكَ فِي لَيْلَتِكَ. It is very possible that Allah might just take your soul in this night. So when you're lying down in your bed, remind yourself that this night may be the last night, and tomorrow in this house there may be tears of people crying over my dead body. Tomorrow my friends may be sending messages to each other that so-and-so was a good person. This could be your last night. Imam Ghazali says, prepare for it properly. What can you do to prepare for it? He gives us some advice now. Yes?
It may be that Allah Most High will take your soul by night. So be ready to meet Him by sleeping in a state of purity.
The first thing Imam Ghazali says, sleep in the state of tahara. Sleep with wudu. If this is your last night, the first thing you want to do is make sure that you slept with wudu. So there are many virtues for this. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in hadith that a person that sleeps in the state of wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to watch over him during the night. And that angel throughout the night continues to make istighfar on this person's behalf until the morning. The hadith is narrated by Imam Ibn Hibban rahmatullahi alayhi in his sahih. So there's an angel watching over you, making dua for you, seeking repentance on your behalf the entire night if you make wudu before sleeping. And again, there are many more virtues in this regard. So the first thing Imam Ghazali says, use this night and benefit from this night. Before go to sleep, do your wudu. The second thing, yes?
Your will written and placed beneath your pillow.
Imam Ghazali says, every night before you go to sleep, make sure your will is underneath your pillow. Have your will ready. Because tomorrow, if you were to die, what will happen to your wealth? If most families, many families, I've seen this with my own eyes as an imam in the community, that when a person passes away and he has some possessions and he doesn't leave a will behind, the family fights and argues, and all of the love that that person tried to develop while alive, it's all gone down the drain in a few moments. Brothers aren't talking to each other. Sisters are not talking to each other. Brother and sister don't want to see each other's face anymore because of the will. All that person had to do was follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prepare the will, keep it under the pillow, and families could have been saved and love could have been maintained between family members. That's the second thing. Now the third thing Imam Ghazali says.
In a state of repentance over sins.
So he says, sleep now while making tawbah, while repenting to Allah before you sleep. Every night before you go to sleep, just ask Allah sincerely for repentance. Just ask Allah very sincerely, oh Allah, please forgive me. Oh Allah, please forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And promise yourself you'll never go back to it. You know, just this, I think one or two days ago, I was listening to a lecture by Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab. Such a beautiful lecture, such a beautiful lecture. He tells a story of a lady who was a prostitute, but she died while she was in sajda. Interesting story, right? And he says that what happened is that he had a student, and the sheikh saying that he had a student, and his student was an imam in a masjid, and in the local area there was a lady, she was involved with prostitution. Not only was she involved with prostitution, she was kind of like the ringleader. She was the one that was sending sisters out for haram. And one day, you know, this lady's son became friend with the imam. And the imam, what he did was he gave her son a little cassette. He said to her, go and listen to this cassette. And the cassette was a lecture of his teacher, Sheikh Tariq Jameel. So he went home and he was listening to the lecture. While he was listening to the lecture, his mom was just roaming around in the house doing her things. And she overheard parts of the lecture and it really affected her. So she came back and told her son, play the cassette for me again. So he played the cassette. She was so touched by the words in there that she said, play it again. And now she plays it again. He plays it again for his mother. He says to him, he says to her son, where did you get this cassette from? He says, you know, the local imam gave it to me. So she takes her son by the hand, they go to the local imam. And they say to the imam, whose cassette is this? So the imam says, that's my teacher, Sheikh Tariq Jameel. So then she says to the imam that in there he says that if a person asks Allah for forgiveness sincerely, Allah will forgive all of their sins. Will Allah forgive me too? And you know what I do, everyone knows what I do, will Allah forgive me? He says to her, if you're sincere, Allah will forgive you. She started coming to the masjid every single day now. She became regular at the masjid. It was a month of Ramadan, and in Ramadan, when she used to come to the masjid to pray, she used to loudly make dua to Allah, saying, oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me, and if you forgive me, a sign of that will be that I will die soon. She used to say, oh Allah, take me out of the world. I've sinned too much in this world. It's time for me to go to a pure place. And every night she made this dua, and one night, on the 29th of Ramadan, she went into sajda and she never got up again. You know, where does this come from? This is the power of Tawbah. A person that comes from a life like that dies, and as the Shaykh mentions, spent her life sinning, but died the death of Rabia Basriya. She dies while she's in sajda. That's the power of repentance. Here Imam Ghazali is telling us similarly, that before you go to sleep, repent to Allah and have all of your sins forgiven. So in case you die that night, when you stand in front of Allah, you have nothing to worry about. Yes?
In a state of repentance over sins, begging forgiveness, decisive about never disobeying Allah Almighty again. You must resolve to do good to all people if Allah Almighty, Most Majestic, should allow you to rise again.
And the fourth thing Imam Ghazali says is that if you wake up in the morning, make an intention that tomorrow I'll be a good person. I'll help all the people, I will help humanity, I'm going to be a good person. And I'm going to benefit other people. That's the fourth thing that he's saying. When you go to sleep, make that intention that tomorrow morning if I wake up, I will do whatever is in my capacity to help other people. Yes?
Remember that you will be put in the grave this way, all alone, with nothing but your deeds. And you will be rewarded only for your endeavors. Do not go to great lengths to induce sleep by preparing your bed in the most comfortable manner.
Imam Ghazali says here that don't go buying your, what do they call these mattresses? Right, memory foam, I don't know what else is out there. All the different mattresses. That Imam Ghazali says don't invest in these things. Because if you invest in there, your sleep is going to prolong. And the idea of sleep is not to be long, the idea behind sleep is to keep it short. Because life is it's the real game, and sleep is a disturbance to life. You know, we talked about this last class, okay? You know, in our philosophy, what's our philosophy? Waking up is a disturbance to sleep. Imam Ghazali is saying, no, waking up is not the disturbance to sleep. Sleep is a disturbance to life. And if you buy these nice comfortable beds with nice big blankets on you and nice big puffy pillows and you sleep on this bed, you're never going to wake up. I remember one of my friends once told me that Shaykh, whenever you advise people to wake up for tahajjud salah, one simple solution is to make their mattress harder. Make your mattress hard, you'll wake up for tahajjud salah. And this is true. Have you guys ever had the opportunity to do i'tikaf in the masjid or sleep in the masjid for a night? Yes or no? All right. If you have, how easy is it to wake up for fajr salah? It's very easy. You don't even need the alarm clock. Your arms are aching. Your arm's gone numb. You can't even feel it anymore. At some point, your back's gone numb. Your feet are gone numb. Your neck's hurting. And you have to wake up for Fajr Salah. So this is a good opportunity for us to, you know, Imam Ghazali is giving a very beautiful solution here. He's saying, don't invest in comfortable bedding, because if you do, it's going to make you sleep for longer. Yes, go ahead, read that.
Do not go to great lengths to induce sleep by preparing your bed in the most comfortable manner.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's bed was made of what? Anyone know? He used to sleep on a leather mat, right? And sometimes it was weaved by leaves. His pillow was a leather pillow stuffed with leaves inside it. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down, and Umar radiallahu anhu entered into the room. And when Umar came in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up and he began to fix his sheet. You know, they used to wear sheets. So he was covering his upper body because Umar just walked in. So while he was sitting up, he was kind of like just fixing his sheet. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying, and the Prophet asked him, why are you crying? He said, O Messenger of Allah, the Roman and Persian emperors are sleeping on sheets made of silk, cotton, comfortable sittings. And here, look at your back, because the Prophet, when he sat up, the mat that he was lying on, it had left marks on his body. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying and saying that, look at your state, it's leaving marks on your blessed body. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw Umar's tears, he said to him, أَمَا تَرْضَى يَا عُمَرْ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمَ الدُّنْيَا وَلَنَا الْآخِرَةِ. Umar, does it not please you that Allah will give them the world and Allah will give us the hereafter? Let him sleep on the comfortable things in this world, we're going to enjoy in the hereafter. You know, there was a great Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu himself. You've all heard of his name, Umar radiallahu anhu, the great Umar. During his khilafah, he was always busy taking care of the things for the Muslim ummah. Sometimes this person's dispute, sometimes that person's dispute, sometimes this army, sometimes this issue. Always kept himself busy. And sometimes when his day would get very long, there's an incident that once he told one of his servants, can you go and get me a cup of water? So the servant went and got him a cup of water, but the servant thought to himself, man, Umar has been working all day, the guy must be so exhausted. So rather than just bringing him water, he took a spoon of honey and mixed it in there to make it sweet water. When he gave the water to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu was about to drink it, and when he began to smell it, he smelled the honey first. And when he smelled it, he put the cup down and started crying. And he cried and cried and cried. And his servant asked him, why are you crying? He recited the verse of the Quran. What if Allah says to me on the Day of Judgment, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. What if Allah says to me, and he recited the verse of the Quran on the Day of Judgment, that you've enjoyed all the luxuries in the hereafter. Today there's nothing for you at all. And he said, I can't drink this. Go and get me water without the honey in there. So where are we in comparison to these people? You know, luxury? Luxury is like, you know, we don't even know what luxury means because we're so used to luxury. Our definition of luxury is way beyond that. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is going to mention this up ahead, but it's so powerful. He mentions that if you become enslaved to your desires, you won't be able to live your life anymore. Because let me tell you guys one thing. You have to make a distinction between necessities and desires. You guys understand that? You have to make a difference between your needs and your wants. Your needs can be fulfilled. Your wants can never be fulfilled. Everyone understand that? Your needs can be fulfilled. Your necessities can be fulfilled. Your desires can never be fulfilled. That's the way it's been made. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person was given 2 valleys of gold, would he stop there? Is that enough for his necessity? It is. Is that enough for his wants? Never. He's going to go and search for the third one. And my teacher used to give an example. You know how people, they have a desire for zina. Men, they and women as well. People have desire to sin. He says that if you committed zina with every single lady on the face of the earth, and vice versa, but there was one person left, you wouldn't be happy. Is that right or wrong? It's true. If you committed zina with every person on the face of the earth, you wouldn't be happy if there was one person left, because that's the nature of desires. You can't control them. They're out of control. You have to know that I can't go after desires. I have to go after what's necessary. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is teaching us here that, you know, your life is the it's what matters. And your sleep is an interruption for your life. So don't go after all these comfortable beds and stuff, because they're going to disturb the cycle of your life. Yes.
Because sleep is an interruption of life. Unless being awake is a burden for you.
Now Imam Ghazali becomes angry again. He says sleep is an interruption for life unless staying awake is a burden for you. Staying awake is a burden for you. What does that mean? We talked about this earlier in the last chapter. Staying awake is a burden for you in the sense that if you stay awake, you're only going to sin. If you're going to sin all day and you can't even stay awake, then Imam Ghazali says, put yourself to sleep. At least that way you're not going to harm anyone, you're not going to harm yourself. But this is a very sad state. If you can't even stay awake with controlling yourself, that means you're in a very bad situation. And that's where a lot of work needs to be done. Yes?
In which case your being asleep is safer for your religion.
Now Imam Ghazali talks about how much should you sleep. How much should a person sleep on the maximum every single day? Yes?
Understand that the night and day comprise 24 hours. So do not let the total amount of your sleep for the day and night exceed 8 hours.
Don't sleep every day more than how many hours? If you're going to sleep 2 hours in the day, then how many hours at night? 6. If you're going to sleep 0 hours in the day, then maximum how many at night? 8. He says don't sleep more than 8 hours. Why is that? It's because if you sleep 8 hours every day, at the age of 60, how long have you been sleeping for? 20 years, right? Because 8 is 1/3 of 24. What's 1/3 of 60? 20. He said, you've already been sleeping for 20 years. You don't even live your life. And now if you're going to be, mashallah, an American kid who sleeps for, you know, on Sunday until Dhuhr Salah, Asr Salah, people are coming to Dhuhr Salah to our masajid with their eyes full of dirt. Shaykh, I'm tired. Let's go have breakfast. Who has breakfast after Dhuhr Salah? So this is our state. And if this is our state, then that's an issue within an issue that we can discuss at another time. Yes?
It is quite enough for you if you live 60 years that you waste 20 of them, which is 1/3. Before sleeping, prepare your toothstick and your water for ablution, and resolve to perform the night vigil, and to be up before the morning prayer.
He says, have your miswak ready, because when you wake up, that's the first thing you should do. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very particular on doing the miswak. You know, today everyone talks about oral hygiene. The doctors are telling you to brush your teeth once, twice, thrice a day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to brush his teeth at the minimum 5 times before every salah. That's the minimum. And then more than that, when he woke up in the morning, first thing his mouth. When he entered in the house, first thing his mouth. After eating, he was cleaning his mouth, cleaning his mouth, cleaning his mouth. The idea here isn't in our communities, in our societies, unfortunately, the reason why people brush their teeth is to kill bad breath. That's not the reason why the Prophet ﷺ necessarily brushed his teeth. It wasn't to kill bad breath, it was to clean the dirt within the mouth. These are two different things. It's two different things altogether, okay? So what happens in our communities, people drink coffee. After drinking coffee, what they do is that they just put one of those mint strips on their tongue. Kill the bad smell. Now the Prophet ﷺ's teaching are that if you have something that gives bad smell in your mouth, rather than just putting a mint there and killing the smell, get rid of the source itself. Pull your miswak out and start digging. Start cleaning your teeth out. Make sure it's cleaned out properly. You don't realize that your mouth smells, but anyone that around you, remember one thing. If you have a bad odor coming out of your mouth, No matter how beautiful it is what you're saying, no one wants to hear it. This is the fact. I'm telling you the truth, okay? You could be saying something that is a tearjerker. You could be sharing a tear-jerking story. But if your breath smells, trust me, people are going to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's time for the soul to leave right now. They're going to want to leave you. So here Imam Ghazali is teaching us that the Prophet's habit was that when he woke up, he did his miswak and then he performed his wudu. So before you go to sleep, have these things ready. Don't wake up in the morning, start searching for them. Before you go to sleep, have this ready. Now a greater principle from here that we're going to discuss is that when you go to sleep, if you know when you wake up you're going to need certain things, prepare them before going to sleep. Don't wake up and prepare them. For example, you know that your kids have milk. They need milk for their cereal every morning for their breakfast, for example. Now you know you don't have milk. Should you buy the milk before going to sleep or after waking up? Before go to sleep. So that way you've prepared for the next morning. You know tomorrow morning you got to go to office. And when you go to the office, you need some nice clothes. They have to be ironed. Should you wake up in the morning, go to the basket, find them, start ironing them, or should you do that before you go to sleep? What we're learning from here is that prepare before you go to sleep everything you're going to need when you wake up the next morning. This gives you proper, you know, order in your life. Yes?
2 rak'ahs in the depths of the night are among the treasures of piety.
Now here Imam Ghazali shares a secret. He says, try to pray 2 rak'ahs tahajjud salah. 2 is enough, but at least pray something. He says, 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud salah in the depth of the night, it's a treasure of piety. It's something that's very special. Don't miss out on this at all. Many of us wake up in the middle of the night. May Allah protect us, may Allah forgive us, to use the washroom, to drink water, for a midnight snack, right? I was reading the other day, mashallah, one of my friends, he said, I woke up in the middle of the night, I did some research and I went back to sleep. So everyone wakes up, people wake up for different things. Some people wake up for cardio in the middle of the night. But when you wake up in the middle of the night, whatever it is that you wake up for, you have to make sure that you at least give 5 minutes to pray 2 rak'ahs tahajjud salah. Inshallah, everyone. If you wake up to use the washroom, you're already washing your hands, you're already using the washroom, you're probably going to wash your mouth out anyway. Just spend another 1 minute, 2 minutes, do your wudu, pray 2 rak'ahs salah, and go back to sleep. I'll tell you something. If you pray tahajjud salah, even if it's 2 rak'ahs very quickly at night, every night, you'll feel so good of yourself during the day. Is that true or false? You feel very special. Because you realize you've done something that only those people do who are close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes?
2 rak'ahs in the depths of the night are among the treasures of piety. So augment your treasures for the day of your poverty. For the treasures of this world will be of no use to you when you die.
He said the treasures of this world won't help you when you die. Those 2 rak'ahs that you pray during the night, they're going to come and help you when you die. Because that's going to be good deeds that will be standing on your scale. All the other treasure that you have, your cell phones, your cars, your money, all much money you've put together in your Chase account, it's not going to be of any use to you at all. All that Chase account is going to be gone. That won't even mean anything to you anymore. But however, those 2 rak'ahs, the hajjud you prayed during the night, they will have great value on the Day of Judgment. Yes?
And say when you sleep.
Now here Imam Ghazali is going to start with a whole beautiful section of du'as that we should recite when going to sleep. As usual, try to focus on them, try to pick up the deep meanings of these du'as, and try to implement them. If you can learn them in Arabic, you can purchase the book and learn the du'as. Otherwise, at least try to memorize the English part or parts of the English part and try to incorporate them in your daily litanies, inshallah. Bismillah.
In your name, my Lord, I lay myself down. And in your name, I rise up. Forgive me my sins. O Allah, save me from your punishment the day you resurrect your slaves. O Allah, in your name I live and I die. And I seek a refuge from the evil of everything that possesses evil, and from the evil of every creature whose forelock you hold. Truly my Lord is on the right way. You are the first, there was nothing before you. You are the last, there is nothing after you. You are the apparent, there is nothing above you. You are the hidden, there is nothing below you. Resolve for me my debts and enrich me beyond poverty. O Allah, you created my soul, and you will cause it to die. To you belong its perishing and its living. If you cause it to die, forgive it, and if you give it life, protect it by that which you protect your pious slaves. O Allah, truly I ask of you pardon and well-being. O Allah, waken me in the hour most beloved to you, and use me in the work most beloved to you, so that you draw me ever closer to you, and keep me always far from your wrath. So that when I ask of you, you give me. When I repent to you, you forgive me. And when I call unto you, you answer me. Then read the throne verse and the Amna Rasulu.
The throne verse is Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum until the end. Read this every night before you go to sleep. And then also read Amna Rasul till the end. Amna Rasul to the end are the last two verses of Surah Surah Baqarah. Read these a night before you go to sleep as well. He then says, read Surah Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ till the end. Read Mu'awwadhatayn. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And then read Surah Mulk. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And then he says, when you go to sleep, make sure while you're sleeping, the last moments while your eyes are closing, your tongue is in the remembrance of Allah. Make sure the last thing your tongue is doing isn't saying, darling, I love you. The last thing that you say before you go to sleep is, Allah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, whatever. Keep yourself busy in the remembrance of Allah. Yes?
Let sleep overcome you while you are in remembrance of Allah and in a state of purity. For the spirit of one who does this will ascend to the throne, and he will be recorded as being in prayer until he wakes. When you awake, return to the routine of the morning I described.
Now this is a complete routine. That's where the complete routine comes to an end. Remember we said Imam Ghazali has written this book into three major parts. The first part of the book, Imam Ghazali walks us through an ideal 24-hour day. How should the 24-hour day be like? And we walk through it step by step by step. And now that part of the book comes to an end, where Imam Ghazali puts us back to sleep, and now the 24-hour routine has come to an end. However, Imam Ghazali is going to make some closing remarks before he moves on to a few appendix discussions, a few extra discussions. Before the first part comes to an end, he has a few appendixes at the end, a few additional notes, and we're going to discuss those. Amongst the additional notes, Imam Ghazali is going to give us a detailed walkthrough of how to pray Salah. He then is going to give us the idea, detailed walkthrough of how to be an Imam. Then he's going to walk us through the Jumu'ah prayer. He will walk us through how to fast. Once we cover these four chapters that remain, the first part of the book will come to an end. It'll be time to start the second chapter of the book. But however, before we go to that, now that Imam Ghazali has walked us through a 24-hour day, Imam Ghazali is giving us some closing notes on how to stay firm and to be strong on what we've learned so far. Yes?
When you awake, return to the routine of the morning. I describe first and maintain this routine for the rest of your life.
So Imam Ghazali says, when you wake up in the morning, start the book all over again. Walk yourself to the 24 hours again. And he says, keep doing this, وَدُمَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ and be firm on this, بَقِيَّةَ عُمْرَتِكَ until for the rest of your life, be busy with this. Yes?
If keeping to this routine becomes difficult for you, be patient, as a sick person is patient with the bitterness of medicine, waiting for a return to health.
So Imam Ghazali says, if it's hard for you to do this 24 hours a day, just keep doing it. It doesn't matter about whether it's fun or not, whether it tastes good or not, whether it's enjoyable or not. You're doing it for results. And the results don't come overnight. They take time. You just have to keep going slowly, slowly, slowly. It's like the sick person. Many of us may not relate to this anymore because medicine doesn't taste bad anymore. But there was a time where medicine didn't taste good. And before they added all the sugar to it, so in flavoring to it. So in that time, I still remember when I was young, I had some medicine that didn't taste good. They were still around when I was growing up, right? And taking medicine was so horrible. You didn't want medicine. You would run the other way, and you were like, no, I don't want medicine. I don't want medicine. But then your mother would sit down and say, no, beta, if you have this medicine, you'll get strong. You'll feel better. And that's why even though it didn't taste good, we would still have it. Even though we didn't like it, we would still have it thinking that it's good for me, it's good for me, it's good for me. And there are tons of examples like this. You know, many kids, they don't like eating vegetables. Their parents tell them, eat vegetables. They say, no, I don't want to eat a vegetable. So they tell them, if you don't eat vegetables, you're not going to be strong. So therefore, out of that hope that one day I'll get strong. So here Imam Ghazali is saying that try to be firm with this 24-hour routine. And if you can't, if you find it hard, then just keep telling yourself that I have to do this. And it's for my own betterment. I have to do it for myself. I have to do this to make myself strong. Yes?
Reflect upon the shortness of your life. Even if you were to live 100 years, in comparison with your stay in the afterlife, which is everlasting eternity, it is a very short time.
Even if you were going to live 100 years, even if you were going to live 100 years, one day of the hereafter is equivalent to 100,000 years of this world. Right or wrong? Right? It's such a long, the comparison is nothing. So what's 100 years of this world in comparison to eternity? Imam Ghazali says it's nothing. And if you can't make the sacrifice for these 100 years, you may regret it for eternity in the hereafter. But if you make the sacrifice in these 100 years, you'll be happy for it in the long run. Yes?
Contemplate how it is that you bear hardship and humility in your pursuit of this world for a month or a year, in order to gain rest and relaxation for, say, 20 years.
So here Imam Ghazali is using his explanations. He's saying that, because in those days what would happen is that certain people, they would go above and beyond for business for a year. And their idea would be that I'll earn for 1 year, and then I'll live relaxing for the next 10 years. And then I'll earn for 1 year, and then relax for 10 years. Earn for 1 year, relax for 10 years. In our communities, we earn for the full year, and then we go on holiday for 5 days. So for 5 days, we spend 360 days. You guys, understand what I'm trying to say? You spend 360 days for how much? For 5 days. And those 5 days are very, only special people get them. The rest of us, especially in our Desi community, unfortunately, there's no concept of holidays, right? People don't have concept of going on vacation and holiday. It's a good thing. You should take vacations and holidays. It's good for relaxing yourself. But the point here, Imam Ghazali is saying that you work all year just to get 5 days vacation, 20 days vacation, 30 days vacation. That's it. Here, Imam Ghazali is saying that there, if you look at the ratio, is a lot more harder because it's 330 days and you're getting 35 days off, for example. Here I'm telling you, you work for 100 years and you get eternity. You guys understand the rate of return here? It's a business, basic business model here. The rate of return is a lot better, which means this is a good investment. Yes?
How then is it that you can outbear a few short days of this routine of worship to attain rest and relaxation for eternity? Do not lengthen your hopes so that your work and deeds become burdensome to you.
So you know how I told you guys, you can never fulfill your desires? You know, we were talking about here, Imam Ghazali saying, do not lengthen your hopes. Don't lengthen your desires. Because if you do that, then your actions will become hard on you. Your actions will become hard on you. It's like, for example, someone who loves eating. If you love eating, if you're like one of those food fanatics, then dieting is going to be hard for you. But if you don't focus on that, then this will be a lot easier. So Imam Ghazali says, don't look into the beauties of this world, because that's going to distract you from your actions. Focus little on that, you'll be able to do more here. Yes?
Anticipate the closeness of death, and say to yourself, I will bear the difficulty today, for perhaps I will die tonight. And I will have patience tonight, for perhaps I will die tomorrow.
So here what Imam Ghazali is saying, don't think, no, what happens to many of us, we think to ourselves, man, that was one day. We spent how many weeks just talking about one day? Now, if I implement this one day, it's going to be so hard on me. Then you think to yourself, I might live for another 40 years. I have to live 40 years like this one day? Man, that's impossible. You guys understand this? So Imam Ghazali says, don't think about 40 years. Don't think about 1 year. What Imam Ghazali is teaching us here, take one day at a time. What is he saying? 24 hours. Why? Because he says tomorrow is not guaranteed. So let's not worry about tomorrow. When we wake up tomorrow morning, we'll worry about then. But until I don't wake up tomorrow, let's not focus on that. So that way you don't feel overwhelmed with all this stuff that has to be done. Yes?
For death does not attack at a particular time, at a particular age, or in a particular situation, though its assault is inevitable. Therefore, preparation for it is superior to preparation for this worldly life, since you know that you will not stay in it for more than a short period of time. Perhaps all you have left of life is one breath, 1 hour, or one day. So consider this in your heart each day, and make yourself be patient with obedience to Allah Most High, a day at a time.
Again, a day at a time. One day at a time. Yes.
For if you estimate that you may remain alive for 50 years, and that yourself will have to persevere in the obedience to Allah Most High, it will try to run away and make things difficult for you.
So you understand what Imam Ghazali is saying here? If you think about 50 years at a time, it's going to get too hard for you. Then you're going to think, I can't do this, it's too hard, forget this, I'm going away. But if you take one day at a time, it'll be a lot easier for you. Just one day at a time. Every day, remember when you wake up, this is what I have to do. And then like that. Yes?
If you do as advised above, you will have bliss at the time of death, and endless bliss. And if you procrastinate and take it easy, death will come to you at a time you do not expect it. And you will be grieved with a grief which knows no end. When morning comes, the travelers praise night travel.
Here, Imam Ghazali, he used a phrase. It's a proverb. When morning comes, the travelers praise night travel. So what happens is at nighttime, when people are traveling, everyone says, don't travel at night, don't travel at night. But in the morning when they wake up and they realize the other guy's 200 miles already traveled ahead, what do you think to yourself? Oh man, I should have just joined the guy. You guys understand that? So, you know, I'll give an example. Like one person says, I'm going to go study. His other friend said, why are you going to go to college? Forget it, let's just go do something else. And then 5 years later, when he's become something big, mashallah, whatever his field is, everyone else thinks to themselves, man, we should have joined him too. So when morning comes, the travelers, they grieve over the night travel. So read that again. Very beautiful.
When morning comes, the travelers praise night travel.
See, by the way, night travel is something good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged the Sahaba to travel during the night. He said, فَإِنَّ الْأَرْضَ تُطْوَى بِاللَّيْلِ. Because the earth is wrapped up during the night. Basically what that means is that you travel quicker during the night. So the Prophet, he encouraged, he said, when you travel, travel during the night but that's only for the people who can travel during the night. If you're one of those people who's going to sleep on the wheel, then don't travel during the night. Then please travel during the day. But if you're one of those people who can safely travel during the night, then it's something good as well. There are many benefits of traveling during the night. Obviously, you don't have to worry about prayer, where you can just continuously travel because there are long hours there. And then also at the same time, when you're traveling during the night, in those days, there was an added benefit. Nowadays, we have air conditioning, so we don't value the night. But in those days, they didn't have air conditioning, so during the day, it would be too hot. So not only were you traveling, but you were also traveling against the heat. So traveling during the night gave you the ability to not worry about the heat. It was already cool and you can travel easily and a lot more quicker. It was easier on the animal and easier on the traveler as well. Yes?
And at death, the convincing truth will come to you. Quote, an ayah from the Quran. And you shall certainly know the truth of it after a short while. Having guided you in how to organize your regular duties of worship, we will now mention the method of prayer and fasting, the etiquette of each, the etiquette of leading prayer, of following in prayer, and of the Friday prayer.
So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is now going to walk us into the last part of this first section, which is the etiquette of prayer, how to be a leader, how to be a follower, the Jum'ah Salah. And then the final part of this whole discussion will be on the etiquettes of fasting. Then after this is over, we'll move forward to part 2. The etiquette of prayer is a longer chapter, and I think it's probably best that we start the next class, so that way we can cover the full chapter in one class, inshallah. And Aziz, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.